I want to call your attention to a scripture reading to begin with in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. And I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 29. And I also have a couple of verses I want to read from the second chapter of Philippians. But in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him," that is John the Baptist, "and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And I want you to notice and what's on my heart today, and something that I want to share with you again today, and you know, something that we should never forget, is that when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, you know, when the Bible talks about John being there at the Jordan and baptizing those who could give a profession of true salvation, when he was there doing that work that the Lord sent him to do, and he saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," he said, "After me cometh a man," "which is preferred before me, for he was before me." And today, as we take this ordinance, and I believe this is very important, but today as we observe this ordinance, we need to think about the humanity of Jesus. Because I'm telling you that he died for us as a man. And Jesus faced things, and I know that it's hard when you read about the things that he actually went through and the things that he endured. It's hard to understand. But the Lord faced things while he was here, trials that, you know, you and I could have never faced. And he faced them completely in his humanity. He faced them as a man. He faced them without using his deity, without using the fact that he was indeed God to his advantage at all. He faced things completely as a man. That's what made him such a faithful and merciful high priest. In the Philippian letter, in the second chapter, beginning with verse 5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Listen. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, Jesus had to do that. He had to do that in order to
even be able to die the death that he died there on the cross, he had to humble himself and become obedient unto it. He was God. God can't die, can he? Jesus was God in the flesh, and in order to be able to die for our sins, he had to humble himself and become obedient to it. And what that means there is he had to empty. That's what that word humbled means there. He had to empty himself and become obedient unto death in order to die and make the sacrifice that he came here to make. Now, when we look in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, if we think about those things that Paul wrote to the Philippians and how that John the Baptist spoke about Christ as a man, and we look at the 22nd chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 39, speaking about Jesus, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. You know, as we observe as God's people today, as members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, as we observe this ordinance today, I want to ask that we really fix our minds upon this. The man, Christ Jesus. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I know that we can't fully do this. I know that we can't fully imagine this. But can you think with me in your mind for a moment about this event? About the man, Christ Jesus, who had come to this world and took up on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and emptied himself to where he would use his deity to no personal advantage, kneeling down on the ground and praying to his heavenly Father, if it's possible, don't make me go through this. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I want you to remember something. And I believe this is well proven to us in the scriptures. Even though Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, even though he was predestinated and foreordained to be the sacrifice for our sins, and he came into this world for that purpose, God sent him here for that purpose. In the fullness of the time, according to Paul's writing to the Galatians, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And even though all these things had been predestinated even in eternity past before the world began, when Jesus came into the world, he himself made it known that he did not have to do this. He did not have to die for us. He chose. He voluntarily died for us. He was praying here, God, if there's another way, if there's another way, remove this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. There appeared, the Bible says, an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You know, the Bible speaks about angels. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And there were times in the life of Jesus, this is one of them, the temptation was another time. There were times in the life of Jesus when the angels came to him and helped him and strengthened him and served him in the same way that they serve you and I. Here he was struggling. And that there shows us his humanity, that he struggled in this. And he had to be strengthened. And even though that the Bible says, even though that there appeared an angel unto him from heaven strengthening him, he was in such agony. He was praying in such agony that the Bible says that he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Can you see it? Can you think about that with me here for a moment as we approach the observing of the Lord's Supper? When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Here was the men that he had a very close relationship with for about 3 years. He had been with them, and they had been with him, and he had taught them. He ministered to them. He took care of them. He taught them all that they needed to know in order to be his disciples. He loved them. He loved them to the end. And he was suffering, and he was praying, and he was praying so earnestly and so agonizing in his prayer that his sweat was dropping to the ground as great drops of blood. And when he rose up from his prayer, what were they doing? Sleeping. They were sleeping. In the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, in the first five verses, you see, Pilate, he tried to persuade the people to release him because he couldn't find any fault with him. But they wouldn't hear of it. So the Bible says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Listen, behold the man. That's what he was. And I've heard it explained this way, and I believe this is proper. Jesus was not half man and half God. Jesus was all man and all God. He was all man. He was human. Now we know that Jesus was not a sinner. And don't you ever let anybody tell you that he was. He was never guilty of sin. He was not born of the corruptible seed of Adam like you and I are. But he was a man. He felt pain. He felt pain on a physical level. He felt pain on an emotional level. He felt pain. In the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, he is despised, in the third verse, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now I'm going to tell you today, none of us here today would have liked to have lived the life that Jesus lived as a man. He lived a life on the earth of suffering. We don't want to suffer anything, do we? We want everything to just be peachy with us, don't we? Jesus lived his time on earth as a man of sorrows and a man that was acquainted with grief. You know, I'm thankful that I've been saved. The Lord, really, to be honest with you, the Lord should have never really had anything to do with me at all because I'm a sinner. He should have never had anything to do with any of us because we're sinners. And I'm telling you that we were not worthy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were crying out to him for the salvation of our soul, we were not worthy of being saved. None of us deserved what he did for us. I believe it was Jacob, perhaps, that made the statement long ago in the Old Testament. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. We're not worthy of anything. We're not worthy of any gift that comes from God, let alone the gift of eternal life. We're sinners. You know, when the Lord was going through all of this, he said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When he was suffering all of these things that he suffered, he was doing this for the sinners of the world. And that means he was doing it for all people, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, once we've been saved, we ought to be willing in our hearts, and shame on us if we're not. We ought to be willing in our hearts to do anything for the Lord. Brother Jackson made a statement this morning. I'm sure he wasn't thinking a thing in the world about what I was going to say today. But he made a statement this morning in opening up Sunday school. He said, this is all about the Lord. And it is. I'm telling you, sometimes we get our personal feelings involved in things in the Lord's church, don't we? We get our personal feelings into things, but I'm telling you that none of this work is about us at all. It's about the one that we're going to remember today. It's all about the Lord. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, in the 12th chapter of Romans, he said, wherefore I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Well, is that asking too much? For people that know the grace of God and the gift of salvation, is that asking too much? That we present our bodies to Him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? Paul didn't think it was, because he said that is our reasonable service. I believe that it seems that there are some of God's children that, want to be involved a little bit, but they don't want to get involved too much. You can search your own heart. I like the Lord. I like going to church, but I want to keep things at an arm's distance. I don't want to get too involved. We ought to be willing to do anything that He would have us to do. We ought to be willing to be anything that He would have us to be. We ought to be willing to go anywhere that He would have us to go. We ought to be willing to give anything to the Lord and everything to the Lord. The scripture, I really love the scripture about the woman that had the two mites and there at the treasury put it all in. You know what that would be like for you today? To empty out your account, to empty out everything, to give everything that you have to the Lord. That's what she did. It doesn't make any difference that it was just a small amount. It doesn't matter that it was two mites. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the teaching. The teaching was that she took everything that she had, all of her living, all that she possessed, and she gave it to the Lord. And that's the way that we ought to be. We ought to, in our heart, know that He is worthy of everything. He gave it to us in the first place, didn't He? He gave it to us in the first place. And so, when we present our bodies to Him, a living sacrifice, we're only doing that which is our reasonable service. And you know what? You cannot be saved. You just cannot be saved until you give everything to Christ. You just can't be. You've got to give it all up. Jesus taught that well with the conversation he had with that rich young ruler. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. You may not have to give it up literally, but you've got to give it up in your heart. There, if there's anything at all that you treasure above Christ, you'll never have him. You've got to give it all up to the Lord. I thank him today before all of you publicly in this assembly. I thank him today for dying for my sins. Can't wait to see him. I'm looking forward to the day that I behold him in his glorious kingdom and go to be with him, be in his presence. But until then, church, he has given us something to remember him by. He's given us this beautiful pictorial ordinance. Great symbolism to memorialize him and to show every time that we do it his death until he comes. To show what it was that Jesus did for us by giving his life as a man. So as we have our deacons come and prepare the Lord's table, once again, as members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, we're going to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper.